Well, good evening again. Tonight's talk's going to be a little bit different than some that I've done before. I view it as a little bit of a what I call an insider talk. For those of you that consider Chestnut Ridge Church your home, because we're going to be talking a little bit about our past and quite a bit about our future, what we hope to accomplish, and we're laying out what this Beyond Initiative is all about. And so I just want to kind of let you know that up front. I want to begin, though, with a couple verses from Ephesians. They're Ephesians 3, 20 and 21, and it's really the key verses for the Beyond Initiative. It goes this way: "Now to him who's able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." Let me quote it again. "Now to him who's able to do above and beyond." One of the other translations of the Bible, the New American Standard, puts this "far more abundantly beyond." It's a very strong phrase. Who's able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we could ask or even think, according to the power that works in us. To him be glory in us, in the church, and in Christ, who's the head, to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Many of you perhaps are familiar with the history of the church, or you've heard me talk some about it. There are lots of details that I think most of us have not heard. A friend of mine, a roommate named Scott Rupley, and I both moved here in 1985. Both of us had recently graduated from college, and we came here to start the church. But the whole idea of starting a church here in Morgantown was kind of ill-conceived. We didn't have really many resources to work with, and we didn't really have much of a plan. The church that sent us basically gave us some money. We had about $500 each, and we were to move to town and start a church. That's it. You say, well, how do you start a church? Well, our plan was we were going to get jobs as quickly as we could, because $500 each would not last very long. And so we had to get work very, very quickly. And then we planned on the evenings and on the weekends, on Saturdays, to go on the campus of the university, West Virginia University. And we were just going to meet strangers, complete strangers. And our main message was the gospel, the good news that through faith in Jesus Christ, we can experience forgiveness of sin and eternal life, and our relationship with our Creator can be restored. That was the whole of the plan. I've since learned that that particular approach to church planting is called a parachute drop. You just kind of drop in town and see what God's going to do, and it's something that could not have succeeded if God were not in it. And all along the way, I think because we were stepping out in faith, and I don't know if you've done this before, but if you step out in faith sometimes and do something that maybe on paper doesn't look like it makes much sense, or it doesn't have a lot of good plans behind it, or a lot of good leadership behind it, or a lot of good resources behind it, but you feel God is saying, do it. Some of you have experienced some remarkable things as God came through for you, and this was the case. Both of us found work almost immediately. I was told later, there's no work in Morgantown. I'm glad I wasn't told that before we got our jobs. But we found work almost immediately, and that was important because our money wouldn't go very far, and you'd have to wait 2 weeks to get your first paycheck. And it's like if the money didn't come in, we were going to pack up everything and move back to Columbus, where we had been living. But we saw God do some things early on. About 3 weeks before we moved here, we needed to find a place to live in Morgantown. And we only had 1 weekend that we could afford to drive here to find some housing, because the other weekends were tied up, and we were not going to have our apartment anymore in Columbus, so we had to move. And so we decided one Saturday to drive to Morgantown and try to find an apartment. We're looking for something really cheap and something near campus, which those two do not go together. cheap and near campus. But we were asking God to do something, and we arrived about 10 o'clock on a Saturday morning, and we got the newspaper, and we began making phone calls at one of the little phone booths. Do you know what a phone booth is, right? Some of you may not, but there used to be, well, this was before cell phones. And we call these numbers, but it was Saturday. It didn't occur to us that the businesses were closed. Nobody was answering their phones. We left message after message saying, call us back, call us back. The problem was we had to stay by that payphone. We couldn't move. It's like now we've told all these people, call us here. And we couldn't go anywhere. Oh, the blessedness of cell phones. And we waited all day and nobody called. And we had a problem because we didn't have money to stay at a hotel. And we didn't want to turn back without getting housing. We'd asked God to provide housing, but what could we do? It was starting to get dark. This was January. Someone had given me, though, the name of somebody. It was somebody who knew somebody who knew somebody who lived here. And someone had given me a little slip of paper before we left. I don't even remember who it was, but it wasn't someone they knew, and it was someone who knew someone who knew someone who lived here, and it was just a name and a number, and they said, if you get in a fix, call this number. And so that night, as it was getting dark, I went to the payphone, and I called that number very reluctantly, like, I don't know who this is. I don't know anything about the person. And the phone rang a few times, and I kind of hoped no one would answer, but then there was a voice on the other end. And I explained who we were. Well, we're moving to Morgantown, and we're planning on starting a church, and we need an apartment, but we didn't find one, and so we need to spend the night, but we don't have any money. Sounds like a great church planting plan, doesn't it? Like, oh, I bet your church plant's really gonna go well. But they were very gracious to us. He said, I wish I'd known, because he said, We can't put you up at our house. I would have liked to have done so, but we have company. I've got no room. And I'm very sorry about that. But then he said, if you go to such and such a hotel, go up to the desk there, tell them you want a room for the night, and tell them my name, and they'll take care of you. And I thought, really? Okay, well, thank you. We jumped in the car, we found the hotel, we went up to the desk. We'd like to spend the night here, but we don't have any money. But so-and-so sent us. And without a word, the clerk at the desk there reached down, got a key. Here's your key. And we spent the night there, although I confess that next morning I was very afraid because I thought I would go to drop off the key and they'd say, you owe us whatever. I mean, was this thing really going to work? But it did. And we got a newspaper that morning. And about 10 o'clock that morning, we found this apartment. And someone actually answered the phone this time. And this apartment was very close to campus. And the price of it was $200 a month total, not each. I just couldn't imagine that. I mean, how long has it been since any apartment in Morgantown has gone for $200 a month? Are we talking the 1930s? I mean, and the guy said, I don't need to meet you, and you do not need a security deposit. You just tell me you want it. I mean, he knew we were heading back to Columbus that day. He said, I'll just take your word for it. You, when you're ready to come. And I said, well, it's going to be 3 weeks. He said, fine, you come into town. You come to my office, I'll give you the key, and you can move right in. And I couldn't believe God had taken care of us, and it was so remarkable to me. And it allowed our money to stretch until we got those first paychecks, and then we went on campus and just began to meet people. And in some cases, we led them to faith in Jesus Christ, and we invited them to our home where we would have a Bible study or on the weekend. Well, we started this little service. It was horrible. This service was horrible. I played guitar. I'd lead some songs that they probably didn't know. And then I had these VCR tapes. You know what those are, right? I mean, if you don't know what a phone booth is, ask the same person who explains what that is, what a VCR is. We put in these tapes of somebody talking, and that was the message. And I'm thinking, how on earth do you start a church that way? But the more people began to join us, sometimes we'd run into other Christians who said, I like what you're doing, and they got involved. And we had a mindset that I wish everyone had. And the mindset was this. We realized that if we went to work and came home from work and decided that that evening all we wanted to do was veg in front of the TV, or we didn't feel like going out and meeting anyone on campus, there'd be no church. I mean, you could do that occasionally, but we realized that nothing would happen if we stayed in the living room night after night after night. Nothing would happen. There would be no church. And so we had to go out. And you say, well, that's probably easy for you to meet complete strangers. It was not easy for me. But we saw God do some kind of remarkable things. Remember this one incident where I stopped at this apartment where there were some guys out there cooking something, and they were students at the university, and I walked up and I said, we're taking this little spiritual interest survey, and it was intended to get into a spiritual conversation about God, and they said, well, we'll answer your questions, but I want you to know a bunch of people are coming over here pretty soon. And I said, that's fine, and we began to talk, and I shared the gospel, and then another person showed up, and the guys that were doing the cooking said, you need to listen to what he has to say. And began sharing the gospel with that person, and then another person showed up, and then another, and another, and another, and another. And the next thing I knew, there were about 15 people all standing there, and I was sharing Christ with them all. And they were throwing back questions back and forth. And I said, this is just remarkable. And God was working in people's heart. And there was a young man in that little crowd there. As we were talking, I looked at this one guy, and I knew God was doing something in his heart. And so I said, you know, I don't know about the rest of you here, but you, I pointed to the guy and I said, you know that what I'm saying is true and that you need a savior. And you know that Jesus died for your sin and you want to receive him right now. And he said, you're right. You're right. And I knew it. I could see what God was doing in his heart, and God was starting to win people. Now that was a long time ago. Since that time, this little fledgling work continued to grow. In Ephesians 3, it says, now to him who's able to do above and beyond, far more abundantly beyond all we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations. The church kept growing. It grew to a size that was more than three times what we thought was even possible for a town this size. Never thought of such a thing. It never occurred to us that a church could grow into the thousands here in Morgantown. And who would have thought that from this work here about 15 years ago that we'd be able to launch a group down to Charleston, and they would start a church that has about 1,000 people coming to it, and that they would start another church in Tays Valley that has another 1,000 that are coming to it. And then 10 years ago, we were able to start something down in Fairmont. And it's been taking off. And in January, they want to start something and realize, boy, from just the humble beginnings. Because it's not due to all kinds of wonderful planning or anything. But I marvel at the fact, I think on a given weekend, that there are 5,000 people in our Little Ridge churches that hear God's word every weekend. And there are another 5,000 that call a Ridge Church their church. About 10,000 people in this state are going to be impacted by one of the Ridge churches. And the question is, are we done? Or does God want to do far more abundantly beyond all that we could ask or imagine? When I moved here, I started reading in the book of Psalms. I love Psalms. One nice thing about Psalms, it's for people who are suffering. You read Psalms if you're suffering. It's really good. And I was reading Psalms every day, but Psalm 1 just stopped me in my tracks because it became my verse, is my chapter. Psalm 1 begins this way. How blessed is the man or the person who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. In other words, the people from which this person is getting his counsel or advice or meaning is not that group. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. That person will be like a tree that's firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf doesn't wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. And that became my prayer for the work here. It wasn't just for me, it was for us. Lord, this is what I want. I want to be like a tree that's planted by streams of water, because if so, if it's planted by water, it'll bear fruit during the season where a tree should bear fruit. But in those seasons where things are dry, its leaf won't wither. And then whatever he does, he prospers. And I said, Lord, you promise whatever we do, we prosper. I want, Lord, us. I want this, Chestnut Ridge, to be a church where the roots go down and it bears fruit upward. It became the daily prayer, Lord. That's what we want to be. When I was in Israel a couple weeks ago, we were in the desert for several days, and we'd occasionally come across areas that had some green trees, and there'd be some life. But everything looked so dead. And the reason it was that way was because we were standing in a wadi. I talked about that last week. A wadi is a dried out stream or riverbed that floods occasionally during the season when it's the spring and the floods come in and the water goes down. But those trees, because their roots go so deep, they find that water even though it's dry. And so you can have the middle of a desert, but you see life. But Psalm 1 is actually not talking about a wadi. When it talks about a tree by the streams of water, it's actually referring to an irrigated system. It's talking about a tree that's by streams that are constantly flowing, that it's a tree that's constantly getting life, and that's what we want to be for the purpose of bearing fruit for the glory of God. Now to him who's able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, or as one version puts it, all we can imagine, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Let me note three things about this. Number one, just that God can and does want to do amazing things through his church. God wants to do amazing things through his church. I think I've read this verse kind of incorrectly for most of my Christian life. Whenever I read it, it says God wants to, you know, do these things beyond we can ask or imagine according to the power that works within us. And I used to read that to say that God wants to do amazing things beyond what you could ask or imagine. And then I put a period there and I didn't read the next phrase that says in us, through us. That's what God's wanting to do, amazing things through us, to realize that this was God's plan all along. You realize God's plan all along in the Old Testament was to take the nation of Israel and shine such a bright light on that nation that the whole world would say, there's a God in Israel. And by focusing it there, the whole world would find the true and living God. Or as in Psalm 67, God blesses us that the whole world may know him. And this is what God wants to do, amazing things through his people. Second thing I want to note is it is about the glory of God. The word glory in this verse comes from the Old Testament word dotsa, which refers to brightness. Oftentimes the glory of God in the Old Testament is revealed through the brightness of like the Shekinah glory, as it's called, the brightness of God. We're about the glory of God. It's not about the glory of what we're doing. And finally, I think the church is the main realm in which God wants to be glorified. It's the main realm. If you read Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, you cannot read it without concluding that God is kind of crazy about this thing called the church. He's certainly crazier than we are about it. I mean, you read Ephesians and Paul spends all this time talking about all that we have and all that we are and all that God has invested in us. You know, we have one faith, one Lord, one baptism, one God and Father of all. We're all united, and he's given gifts to his church, and he's blessed us and adopted us into his family and redeemed us and seated us in the heavenly places, and the list goes on and on and on and on. And then he says, and because all those things are true, I got a plan for your lives. And that's why we want to keep going as a church. We want to continue advancing what he's doing, which gets us to beyond. What is it that we're about, or what is the Beyond Initiative about? Well, it's our plan for the future, but also the means to support the plan. And so if you haven't heard up to this point, our desire is to raise in the next 3 years, $3 million for the plan that we feel God has given to us. That sounds like a lot, but the annual plan of the church is, or I'm sorry, the annual budget of the church is $2.5 million, which amazes me. When I think beyond, above and beyond all you can ask or imagine, I would have never imagined that. God uses his people to give so generously so that his work could be carried out here and across the state. It is, by the way, don't make any mistake about it, it is his thing. I drive in here, I drive along that driveway, I come in, I seldom will drive in here without looking at the building, and I wonder in my mind, where did that come from? I just can't believe it. I don't know how it happened. I don't know how, I mean, and I was part of it. I just don't know how it happened. But God's doing some amazing things, but we want to be looking beyond. And we say, what is it you have for us? And so basically, we're trying to raise an extra million every year for 3 years in a row. That's what it's basically about. What are we going to use it for? Well, I've got four buckets up here because we have four places where we want this to go. And so we're going to be putting this in four separate buckets. The first bucket over there is youth, young people, students. 1.4 million, almost half of it we want in that bucket right there, because that's our future. We want this to be the kind of place where middle schoolers, high schoolers, college students love to hang out, love to be here. What if this was the favorite place for people to be? Here. So what do we want to do? Well, we want to redo the gymnasium. Right now, the largest place where we have for the kids to hang out is the hub. If you've been in the hub, you know it's not very big. We need a bigger area, much larger area. We want to turn that into a youth center. That's the plan. Turn the gym into a youth center. Next week, Lord willing, I want to show you some of the diagrams, what we have in mind. We also want to build some more classrooms. We need more classrooms, believe it or not. We have probably 500 kids here on a weekend. 500 kids upstairs and all over, like they're everywhere. I love it because kids these days aren't going to church. We want to decorate the upstairs so that it matches what's downstairs. Downstairs is decorated for the younger kids. If you walk through the hallway there, you see how nicely it's decorated. We want to do some things upstairs for the older kids so that it's a really, really fun place, a place where they want to hang out. We want to put in a coffee shop. And we're interested in doing something with the front area that we purchased to turn it into like a field that can be used for soccer and other things to serve not just the church, but we have in our mind to be a blessing to the community. Get people here. Get them people here. And so we've got other ideas. We want to put some basketball hoops out there. We want to put some other things, but the youth area is $1.4 million. The second area is debt reduction. We want $800,000 to go toward paying off that property we bought. That'll free up the money for the budget to provide for staff that we desperately need. Right now, that loan is a separate loan, and it comes directly out of our budget. So if that could be wiped away, that would free up the money. So that's the second bucket we have. The third is to improve every environment around the church, starting with that lobby area. And I mean, it doesn't take much imagination to realize we kind of need new carpeting there. Any of you trip? Waiting for someone to trip, fall, sue us, and then tithe on the money. Okay, don't do it. I'm just kidding. But we need, it needs to be, I mean, we've had probably 2 million people that have been on that carpet back and forth, 2 million since we moved into this building. This gets a lot of traffic. We need new furniture and other things. But in here, we have some things we want to do. We need new equipment. Obviously, like a computer. How long does a computer last these days? But some of our equipment is 10, 12 years old, and it's old, and it's starting to crash because we're maxed out on it, which is why sometimes the sound is harsh. On the high ends and low ends, we used to be able to put effects on the high ends and low ends to make it sound better. Now, Matt and the gang back there do a great job with it, but we need new equipment. But also, we want to get some new cameras in here to allow us to have a better online presence. And we're talking about maybe doing our own video venue church plant, like our church in Fairmont is doing. But it would require much better equipment than we have now if we're going to be doing something like that. A lot of churches are doing that. I don't think we'd exclusively do that, but it allows you to plant churches more quickly because you just need an administrative pastor. You need its own worship band, and then the message would be, what will we do here? And so we're in discussion about doing that as well. But that's the third bucket, is to fix every environment so it's nice. I mean, the image that comes to my mind is if you invited someone to your house and you were taking them to every room of your house, it'd be nice if everything were fixed up to be really nice for the people that are going to be walking through our doors. And then the last bucket is we want to give away $150,000 to a variety of ministries. We want to give some to our Fairmont Church plant that's starting a new church in Bridgeport, Clarksburg area. Theirs is a video venue. We want to give some money to our ministry in the Dominican Republic. And we want to give money to a bunch of ministries in the Morgantown and this surrounding area, to groups that are doing a good work, because we just want to be a blessing. We want to come alongside to those who are doing a wonderful work. So that's what the plan is, to do that. Now, we're not asking for anything tonight except this, that you would just pray about it this week. When you leave, as you're leaving tonight, you'll get a little pledge card, and next week we're going to be collecting those. We're just asking you this week to ask God about it. If God says, do nothing, that's fine. This isn't a pressure thing. I would encourage you, though, to consider, regardless of who you are or what you think you have, to do something just to be part of it. The amount doesn't matter. You know, I think it's that we're all in this together, and we are God's people and God's church, and God will do what God's people will do as we step up to the plate. Also, remind you that it's a 3-year commitment, and so it's, if you think, well, right now I'm not in a good position, that's okay, because it's not due year one. It's something over 3 years. And so if you, by faith, believe things will be better in year two or three, then trust God for that. And it's not all due that first year. And then I want to mention, too, that we recognize that sometimes when people make a commitment like this, that their circumstances change. They get laid off or something, and then they think, well, I made this commitment. No, just let us know about it, and that's the end of it. It's okay. You don't have to fulfill it, because we want to serve you. And so if that happens, that's okay as well. I want to close, Joe, though, with this idea. Some of you started attending the church here when we moved into this building. In fact, the day we moved in here, the church grew by 500. It's really quite remarkable. And the reason that happened is that there was a group that came before the group that came when we opened the doors here. That group is the one that paid for what you experienced when you came here. There was a group that said several years ago, if we build it, they will come. And they were ones who were paying it forward. In fact, part of what we did to raise funds for this is we asked people to buy a seat, one of these. They were like $249 or something. Buy a seat, because someone will be actually physically sitting in that seat week in and week out, and you'll be doing something very concrete in terms of blessing someone that's going to come after you. All we're asking everyone to do is to think about paying it forward to the people that aren't here yet, but will be one day. And they'll walk in and they'll look around and they say, I wonder who did this? And someday they'll be the ones to look ahead and say, you know, I want to make a difference for the ones that come after me. It's really, though, ultimately about God's glory, not ours. And it's not a high-pressure thing. It's just we believe God wants us to keep moving. And I've been surprised what God has done. I've been surprised, because I thought certain things, but God did so much more abundantly beyond all that I ever thought or dreamed. It's not because of good planning or good leadership. God did it. We just think he wants to do something in the future that none of us has thought of yet, but it's going to be so amazing as we begin to really heal this state, starting with the good news of the gospel. So let's pray. Father, thank you for the work that you're doing. Think how your son is the head of the church. Now, that's what he's devoting his energy to, as he said, I will build my church. And Lord, we want to be joining with him in that effort, what you're doing. And so I do ask you to speak to us, ask you to challenge us, help us to even think in terms of sacrifice. Lord, oftentimes we only think in terms of just our excess, helping with the excess. But boy, there's something that happens when we sacrifice, when it actually has a cost involved. And we ultimately want to do it for your name's sake. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.